I'm Bob McDonald, and you're listening to CBC Radio's Quirks and Quarks. We've all heard about the disasters in the fisheries that have destroyed the northern cod and threatened the salmon, the tuna, the swordfish, and just about every other species you could name. Well, now it seems we've found overfishing is annihilating species you've never even heard of. And what's more, these are species from the deep ocean that in some cases haven't even been the target of a fishery. Dr. Richard Heydrich, a professor emeritus of biology at Memorial University, and his colleagues found five species of deep water fish that have been pushed to the brink of extinction. And the decline of these species may indicate a whole new set of problems for the ocean ecosystem. Dr. Heydrich, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Very nice to be here. Thank you.
So which species of fish are you studying?
Well, we were looking at some, as you said, that are not well known to people at all. They have common names. There are things like a blue hake and the spiny eel, and then a couple of grenadiers, round-nosed grenadier, and something we in Canada call the roughhead grenadier. But these are fish which probably wouldn't even look like the common conception of a fish. They're deep sea. The grenadiers in particular are rather tadpole-shaped. They were described by one person we talked to in the United Kingdom as being butt ugly.
Well, when you say deep sea, where do they live?
They live off the edge of the continental shelf, that is on the continental slopes. And that's why this is so interesting, because, of course, most of the fisheries are conducted on continental shelves down to perhaps 200 meters. But these fish are living at depths anywhere from 400 to over 2,000 meters. And they're fished at those depths as well.
Holy smokes. I didn't know that you could even fish that deep.
Well, it's quite an operation, and it's done with enormous and very heavy nets. The nets are big enough that you could fit a 747 inside them. And the weight of the gear is probably anywhere from 10 to 15 tons. So that this is very massive equipment that's being dragged over the bottom of the ocean.
Boy. And now, if they're fishing at that depth then, so are they going after these species?
Actually, they're not. They're targeting other species, most particularly something called the Greenland halibut, which is a fish which has been pursued in the wake of the decline of codfish. And actually, this sort of thing is happening worldwide, is that as shell fisheries are depleted, fisheries move into the deep sea, and they have to go after different species.
So how much have these other species declined?
Well, the decline in these things we've found has ranged anywhere from 83 to almost 97% within the time period for which we had the data. It's a remarkable decline and comparable to the decline of the codfish, which took place over about 40 years.
What time period are you talking about?
The data that we had went from 1978 to 1995, and then we had some additional data that brought us up to date for the grenadiers.
I mean, it almost sounds like an extinction here.
Well, yes, it does, and by the standards that are applied, it would be. But that's why it's of concern. We can't be sure whether these things will go extinct or not because they are widespread. But we know when populations get to very low levels that they can get into serious trouble. And you can look at the passenger pigeon and the great auk and other sorts of things for examples of animals that did go extinct.
And again, these are not fish that were actually targeted. These were ones that are, they're caught accidentally. They're just scooped up because the net's so big?
They're caught accidentally because they live in association with the target species. Now, originally, the grenadiers were targeted, and that was by the Soviet Union when it first began to fish off of here in the 1970s. They fished it for about 5 years. And there is another important point. We talk about beginning this in 1970. Prior to that, there were scarcely anywhere in the world any deep-sea fisheries, so that we're talking about going into a region that you could almost think of as the Garden of Eden. And then in that very short period of time, fishing them down so very low. So this is why we're quite ready to believe that it is this bycatch which has really decimated them.
Now, is there something different about the deep sea environment that makes these fish more particularly vulnerable?
Yes, that's a very good question, because everything that we know about the deep sea is that the pace of life there is very much slower. Certainly deep sea fishes, which are known to be late to mature, to live for long periods of time, to have lower fecundity or egg numbers than more shallow living ones, would be susceptible to some sort of disturbance, and that's just exactly what we've found. The converse of that, of course, is that if you're interested in what recovery times are going to be, that's where you really find something scary, because it's going to take 100 years or more just to know whether if you were to take any steps to try to help these things out, you wouldn't know for 100 years whether you were succeeding.
100 years?
Yeah, that would be about 5 generations, you see, in any one fish. And that's what many conservation biologists think, that you've got to look after 5 generations to see if you're having any effect.
What effect would this have on other species in the deep ocean?
Well, that also is a very good question, and it's part of what we see as the greatest importance in it, is that actually, if you believe, as most ecologists do, that everything is linked to something else, you believe that there's likely to be some long-term effects. What those are, we have no way of knowing and can only predict with mathematical models. But we do know from examples on the land where, for example, if you go in and you cut a big tract of forest, you may end up with a grassland, because rainfall patterns change and the soil erodes and so on, and you never go back to a forest. And that's what we're concerned about, that we think we may see in the deep sea, and we're concerned about that with the codfish as well.
So we've done a version of clear cutting in the deep sea?
Yes, and in fact, there have been papers that have talked about the use of those giant trawls just in that effect. And what we also know from this area is that there are deep water corals, which are deep water coral forests that have been smashed flat by this gear. And so one of the things that we wonder about is, was this significant habitat for some of these deep sea fishes at some stage in their life history? And we don't have a clue about whether that's the case.
So we're not just talking about the effect on these four or five deep sea species of fish. It's the whole deep ocean ecosystem you're talking about here.
That's exactly the way that we prefer to look at it.
Dr. Heydrich, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Richard Heydrich is a professor emeritus of biology at Memorial University. The research was published this week in the journal Nature. I'm Bob McDonald, and you're listening to CBC Radio's Quirks and Quarks.